knelt before Jesus and he said, "Our daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." And Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said to her, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but she is only sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, Jesus went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all of that district. This is the word of the Lord. This beautiful story of the raising of the dead and the healing of this woman who'd suffered this hemorrhage for 12 years is actually recorded not just in the book of Matthew, but also in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke, what we call the Synoptic Gospels. Because if you go through these three Gospels and you compare them all, you're going to see similar stories throughout. Of course, John had a very different intention in mind in proclaiming who Jesus was. And so he set up his gospel on a very different basis. It's actually around eight miracles. So we see the story here. We get a little bit more information from Luke and from Mark regarding who this synagogue ruler is. Actually, his name is Jairus. And if you want to know what a synagogue ruler is, well, some people think that he was more or less the rabbi, the pastor, the custodian, the one that was in charge. The commentaries say that he wasn't just in charge of what happened on Friday night as the people gathered for their Sabbath services or on Saturday, but also what was going on during the week, because it was a school. And many of the kids came to the school to learn their lessons, and the synagogue ruler was responsible for the education piece and for the worship piece and for the upkeep of the building, if you will, you know, the custodian. He had many responsibilities. And this man and his wife had one daughter, one sweet child. And she was dead. In this story in Matthew, he just flat out says, "My daughter is dead. I need you to come." In the story as it's told in Mark and Luke, he comes and says, "My daughter is at death's door." Now, it could well be that he left the house and the physicians, whoever the attending people were, says, "Your daughter is beyond our help. She is as good as dead." However you want to take that, Jesus encounters Jairus and immediately responds, and with his disciples says, "Let's go to this man's house." Now, we see an interruption, because on his way, Jesus has the crowds that are thronging and pressing in, and of all things, there is a woman. Now, she's described as having a flow of blood, hemorrhaging, and that this has been going on for 12 years. And she says to herself, "I want to be healed." Now, she's been telling herself this for 12 years. And who wouldn't? Because I'm sure that was very painful physically, but it was also painful socially and emotionally, because in the scriptures, in the Jewish community, if you had a flow of blood, you were considered unclean, like a leper. And everybody had to keep their distance from you. And certainly Jewish men didn't want to have anything to do in terms of touching or getting near to women in general, because, oh my goodness, what if they're in that time of the month? Then I will become ceremonially and spiritually unclean, and that's a bad thing. So they're like taking two steps away. But not Jesus. This woman touches the hem of his garment, and immediately power comes out of Christ, and this woman is healed. Now, Jesus says in the story told in Mark and Luke, "Who touched me?" And Peter doesn't get it, because Peter says, "Lord, the crowd is pressing in on you. What are you even talking about? Of course, everybody is touching you. Why would you say, 'Someone touched me?'" duh. Isn't that just like Peter? And sometimes it's like us. We don't get the purpose of the Lord. You know, we're with him and we're his disciples, but we don't understand fully what his agenda is in the best sense of that word. What is Jesus trying to accomplish when he stops and says, "I have felt power coming out of me onto healing, and I want to know who it was that touched me." Now, do you think Jesus knew who that woman was? Oh, yeah. He's not asking that question for his own benefit. He's asking the question for the benefit of his disciples and literally all the crowds. But most importantly, my brothers and sisters, for this woman herself, who has suffered so much. Luke, the physician, notes in his gospel that this woman has suffered much at the hands of physicians for many years. And I'm sure it cost her an arm and a leg as well. Typical of Luke, who was a physician himself, giving that little detail. Yeah, these physicians weren't able to do a thing for her. All the experts, all the people in the society that were expected to be able to do something about it could not do anything. But this woman and Jairus knew that when they were at the end of their rope, that God is there, that Christ is there. Perhaps you are feeling at the end of your rope today. You've tried everything. You've made all your efforts. And still, no healing. Still, no answer. And your heart is in turmoil. Think about Jairus and his wife. They have had the joy of a single daughter for 12 years. We don't know the circumstance, but it seems a little rare that they would only have one child. But that was the gift that God had given to them. And you can only imagine, if you have had a single child, how much you lavish, how much your life is actually wrapped up in the life of that sweet child. And Jairus and his wife must have been distraught beyond all human imagination at the thought of their daughter lying dead in their home. She's a 12-year-old girl, Luke points out. A young maiden, as the King James says, damsel. A young damsel. I think that it's more than coincidental, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that in this intertwined story, this woman has suffered for 12 years. And this family has rejoiced for 12 years. And there's a touch point there. And Jesus is the touch point. Jesus can speak life into dead situations. Jesus can speak hope where there is, humanly speaking, no hope, where you've tried everything, and now you're casting your lot on Jesus, because he's all there is. And that's the place that you've come to, and that's the place that Jesus wants to bring you, where you've given up all hope in saving yourself, in reforming yourself, on pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and saying, "I'll be a better this or I'll do that better." Because Jesus wants us to come to him with empty hands, where all we have is the hope of the gospel. And Jesus wants us to take those empty hands and touch him, as it were, on the hem of his garment. Oh, to be that woman. Can you imagine that you are that woman? That you get to be in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth himself? Reminds me of the story of Thomas. Remember Thomas? He didn't believe in the resurrection. He said, I just don't believe it. I am not going to believe it until I see it with my own eyes and touch the nail prints in his hand. And the next time Jesus shows up and Thomas is there, he says, Thomas, come over here. Now you see, and you touch, and you believe. Because through your senses, you have come to an awareness that, yes, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, oh Lord, and my God. That was the testimony from Thomas's lips. And what does Jesus say? How blessed you are that you get to touch me. But blessed also are those who will never be able to touch me. I think for us, my brothers and sisters, who have not been able to be in the presence of Jesus 2,000 years ago, the story of the gospel, as we flip through the pages of the gospels, and we see the witness of the disciples of Jesus to who Jesus is, the healer, the redeemer, the savior, that it's as though in the story and in the pages of the gospel, we are touching the hem of his garment. That's why every time we come to worship, we spend time in the Word. Because it is in the hearing of the Word that faith comes. And so we hear the good news of this beautiful story of this woman being healed. And Jesus calls attention to her. And it's not because he wants to embarrass her, but he wants to say to her, I see you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know, in your own life, when you're misunderstood and somebody looks at you and they say, I see you, I get you, I affirm you, I understand you. And that's what Jesus was saying to this woman. And he says it to us today. I see you. I see your need. I see your longing. Faith in me in a hopeless situation. And Jesus says this. You're healed. She already was healed because of her faith. Not because she was touching a relic that Jesus had worn. That's not our jam, my brothers and sisters. You can go to any number of places and you can see the relics of Jesus, you know, the splinter of his cross, or you know, the robe that he wore. That's all interesting, and I don't want to take away from that, but that's not what we put our faith in. You understand? Jesus is also saying, and maybe he's speaking a word about relics, it's not about the hem of my garment, it's not some piece of clothing that I wore. Your faith is in me. And your faith in me has been the thing that has transformed your life. You were an outcast. You were in pain. But now I've brought you in. You're loved. You're one of the beloved. Whatever your pain, whatever your sorrow, Jesus wants to speak into that. And I'm thinking about a song by it's called Laura's Story. What if we receive the blessings of the Lord in the rain? What if the blessings of the Lord are experienced in the pain? What if it takes 1,000 sleepless nights for us to know that he loves us? Because God will use our pain and our sorrow, and he will transform that into a song of joy in our God. This faith, this Christian message, isn't Jesus waving a magic wand and all your troubles go away and everything is glorious light. We live in this world, and the scripture says, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. You understand that these miracles that are recorded here, whether it's a miracle of healing of this flow of blood, or whether it's the miracle of Jesus saying to a young girl, Talitha kum, rise up from the dead, calling her from the other side, that is a foretaste of the promise that Jesus, as King of the new kingdom, is giving to you and to me. Yes, we do suffer in this world. And yes, we will all die. But the hope of the gospel is that is like a blink of the eye compared to the joy of all time and eternity that we will experience in the presence of the Lord. What a joy we may look forward to, because He has filled us with His Holy Spirit. And by faith in Christ, we may walk through this life and know that nothing, my brothers and sisters, nothing, neither death nor life, will ever be able to separate us from the love of Christ.